I'm Stephen John Drew from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to the Starling Tribune. I am Stargate Pioneer. My friends call me SP. And your reporters for this 12th episode of Season 4 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
I have seriously missed this.
And Neil.
New lair. Nice.
And I have to quote Felicity as I always do, and I will go with boom. I believe the technical term is I pwn you. This podcast is recorded on Thursday, February 4th, 2016. Live on the Plop streaming service. We are just three guys that discuss the TV show Arrow. Just a little reminder that I am not a comic expert. I'm actually a science fiction guy. Go The Expanse. It was an amazing series. Go catch it if you haven't got it already. But I'm catching up to the comic lore. Yes, indeed. I bought a whole stack of books this week, which we might get into later. But I'm catching up with buying comics, and thanks to these wonderful guys like Chris.
Just a secret, guys, I'm mostly reading Star Wars comics right now.
And Neil.
Don't worry, I'm supporting the big two for you there, Chris, so I got it covered.
Excellent.
There was a lot to talk about this week. I messaged pictures to these guys Wednesday when the comics came out, and Neil's like, why are you doing this to me? I'm in a meeting. Don't do this to me. I want to read comics.
I just want to read the new Doctor Strange and the new Scarlet Witch and the new Green Arrow, and I had to work.
My bill outside of the comic book store was $40. That's, wow.
Well,
it was
nothing.
It was steep this week.
You got to hit triple digits, then you can talk.
Oh, a couple of graphic novels and you're good.
Yeah, right.
Listen, guys, last weekend I drove across a national border to buy a graphic novel.
That was nuts. I have no idea why you did that.
The border guards looked at me. They're like, serious? One comic?
Because you have to declare that, right?
They normally look at you and they go, yeah, go. Really? Just go.
The nerd is unsaid in there, too. Just go, nerd.
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 All right, let's get back on track, guys. During this podcast, we'll be talking about what happened in episode 12 of the CW television show Arrow, as well as news, articles, announcements that have dropped in the past and could, and most likely do, impact future episodes. So, therefore, it will contain spoilers when we get to that point for upcoming episodes. So, consider yourself warned. And just a little reminder that all of our past released shows can be found at our archives, found at GunnaGeek.com. All right, Neil. We did have an episode last night. It was chock full of just about everything, please, including speedweed. So break it down for me.
You got it. So we are talking about episode number 12, season 4, Unchained. Air date of Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016. Directed by Kevin Fair. And this was his first episode of Arrow that he has directed, but he is no stranger to the CW or to superheroes. 15 episodes of Smallville. That's effectively an entire season if you put them back to back. Also on the CW, 2 episodes of Beauty and the Beast. So Christian Koich from Smallville, he knows quite well. And if you're Canardian, he's directed a few episodes of Arctic Air, which I'm sure our friends south of the 49th parallel have not watched. The writers for this week, you called it, guys, Speed Weed, who has done 3 other episodes of Arrow, but 23 episodes credited as co-executive producer working on the script, and Beth Schwartz, that has written 16 episodes of Arrow and tons of script coordinator and co-producer credits for this show.
You know what I like most about Speedweed being part of this is he has now gotten me attention to the credits before the show. Like before I'd be like, who cares? Now I'm like, is Speedweed going to be that? And I see all the other great names as well. I mean, we talk about Speedweed just because he has a great name, but everybody involved, it is just great seeing all their names from Wendy Miracle to Mark Guggenheim to everybody. And it's great seeing their names at the start of the show each week.
The one writer that I am always on the lookout for, and we get her next week, spoiler alert, is Kito Shimizu. I've started following her on Instagram, and I keep an eye on her because she has also written the majority of episode 2.5 in the comics. So a writer that's able to move between genres, I think, is really cool. So that's who I'm watching out for.
It'll be fun. It's great because we're doing this podcast. We take a look at the writers, the stunt choreographers, the producers, and that sort of thing. And we really focus in on everything. And just as a plug, I'm going to plug this at the beginning of the episode. All right. We normally save our plugs for a little bit later, but my two wonderful co-hosts that you see on screen with you right here, Chris and Neil, were on Nerd Alert News Special Edition last night talking about the recently publicly announced Supergirl and Flash crossover that's going to happen in March. So if you haven't caught that yet, it's on Blab, it's on YouTube, and it is at wherever you download your podcast. It is Nerd Alert News number 21, special edition. And we even have our very own consultant, Black Adam, with an appearance at the end as well. So make sure you catch that. So Chris, what did you think about this episode?
I'm so happy Nyssa is back. I love that character so much. And she just got to be a complete and utter badass for the entire episode, too.
She is my favorite member of the League of Assassins, and I'm counting Merlin in there. I mean, I love her badassery. I don't know if that's an adjective, but I'm going with it.
It works.
She's the best.
I think the fight choreography in this episode was amazing, but my favorite was Nyssa and Katana. And you knew they could have gone all night and take whatever double entendres you want from that. But they actually were like, okay, we could do this all night, or let's talk about Oliver Queen. And, you know, that magically stopped everything. That was awesome.
I love how they both knew. They're like, yeah, we can fight all night. We're that good. We just got to wait for someone to get tired. And I'll be honest, I'll skip ahead a second. When Katana showed up on screen, I turned, I looked at my girlfriend, I go, well, looks like the Suicide Squad movie's going to kill someone else now.
Oh,
and I'm glad they didn't kill her.
That's right. That's right.
Believe it or not, I have friends outside the network and we were chatting this evening.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, it happens. And we were geeking out on this episode on the commute home. And he said, well, let's take a look at all the promo material coming out for Suicide Squad. You're not seeing a lot of Katana in it. You're seeing a lot of Harley, seeing a lot of Killer Croc. You're seeing a lot of Deadshot, not a lot of Katana. Our conspiracy theory, I'm taking a page out of your book here, Chris.
Ooh.
They're going to kill off Katana and leave her in the CW verse.
Ooh. I hope you're right.
I don't. Wow. Okay. I'll take it. It's not exactly, you know, scraps. It's a main character. I like it.
Hey, at this point, they owe us at least one. I mean, how many have they taken away from us? Give us one at least.
Totally.
Katana wasn't the only callback we had in this episode, though. I know I'm going a little bit out of order, but it was so exciting for me. We got to see not May, but Shadow.
When she showed up and put an arrow right into the heart of Baron von Reiter, I was like, holy smokes, she just did that. It must be her twin. I don't care. That's awesome.
It doesn't matter. It was awesome. And then you see what happened. And you're like, oh, so the door is now open to see her more often, which is great. But at the same time, the way the character was used, it has to be used sparingly. Okay, so I've gone out of order enough. Let's talk about the overall theme.
Hey, SP, you're our producer, so you can do whatever you want. But the overall theme for this, I took a quick crack at it. I thought it was either letting your sidekicks do what they want, which is Roy making the call to stay behind, or Thea to, you know, run the course of her mystical affliction, or perhaps it was just talking to your enemies. Ollie spent a lot of time talking to Merlin. He thought he was going to talk to Damien Dark, but really, it was determining your own destiny, I thought, and kind of being freed or unchained from Ollie's overriding control.
See, to me, I thought the writers had a theme of bring back all the characters these guys like and toss them in one episode. You had Merlin, you had Nyssa, you had Curtis was back. I was like, everyone I love is in this episode. Now, which one of them are they going to put in the grave? Oh, crap.
Right, right. They have to compete with their own show, Legends of Tomorrow, which just got over with a little bit ago here.
And side note, it better not be Curtis in the grave.
Oh, that would suck.
That would. Especially, I mean, he even used the little, what is it called? The Terrasphere? He used the Terrasphere?
The T-Sphere.
The T-Sphere.
Yeah.
We didn't see any Lance, so I know, and Mama Smoke, so two of our favorites, as pointed out in the chat, were not in this episode, but that's okay. I'm not sure they could have crammed anybody else, either in the show or in the budget.
So I think you're absolutely right, Neil, that the theme of the episode was not talking to your enemies, because Oliver never actually talked with Damien, the Green Arrow, whatever. That meeting did not occur. He talked to Reva, but he did not talk to Damien. And similarly, he might have been being tortured by the Baron, but he wasn't talking. So, I mean, I think that you're right to go away from that. I think, yeah, letting people control their own destiny is probably as good a theme as any. And I was stretching as I was watching this, because we started this theme discussion at the beginning. I was stretching. So, where does On Chain, the episode name, kind of fit in? I'm like, I have no idea. Who knows?
It's Oliver's guilt. It's unchained. It's everywhere. I don't know.
Actually, I thought they were stuck for the name. And hey, Nyssa is broken out of prison at the beginning. I guess she's unchained. Okay, we got a name. I was like, oh, that's lame.
And I guess the other theme we could go for is Oliver always feels guilty because they beat us over the head with it in the flashbacks in current time. There's at least four people that talked to him about, you're always so guilty. You have the weight of the world on your shoulders. And I kind of was like, you know what? I get it. After the second time, I understand. I'm dense, but I'm not that dense, guys.
Well, you know, you got to pander to the kids at home. The kids at home that don't really get it. The younger girls. Oh, yeah, Oliver, he feels so guilty all the time.
No, they're just going to take off your shirt. They're not caring about him feeling
Where's
guilty.
Where's the salmon ladder? We did kind of get a shirtless Ollie when he was getting tortured.
Only partially. And you know what?
It's like side boob, right? Partial shirtless scene.
So we had a conversation with that. The girlfriend and I are watching. She goes, why doesn't he have his shirt off all the way? And I paused and I went, it's in the script, which is my normal response. And then I paused and went, well, actually, this way he doesn't have to get the tattoos and the scars put on. So they saved him time in the makeup chair.
Chris, it is uncanny how similar our conversations were with our significant others. Because my wife went, oh, he stopped torturing him so he can admire that beautiful definition on the inner side of his pec. I'm like, I don't think that's why he stopped torturing him. She's like, no, I'm pretty sure it's why she stopped torturing him.
Did she hit pause then?
Come on, I keep the remote. What are we talking about here?
Smart. I have two remotes, so it's possible it could happen in my house.
We have multiple remotes for TV too, and remote wars do happen from time to time.
Yes.
But the tattoo, the special tattoo was not shown. So you don't know if it's glowing or not. They're in a dark place. Use a little light, and it's getting a lot of electricity. So
here's a question. And somebody pointed this out to me at the office today, and I could neither confirm nor deny it, which I felt like I was letting them down as the Arrow guy in the office. But when he woke up after his hallucination, was he holding the stone?
He was.
All right. So the tattoo must have been behind that, because that was not there. So the tattoo was working.
Well, remember, the Baron's line was, what did the tattoo show you? So what the tattoo showed him was this vision and then this stone, which will come into play in some way, shape, or form that I cannot yet figure out, but part of me really hopes it involves John Constantine.
It's the key. He's going to use the key to get in the cave.
That's possible, I guess.
I don't know. I was just making it up.
If anyone can read the characters in that stone, let us know at Starling Tribune on Twitter. Tweet us what the translation was, because I can't. There might not be one.
I haven't done any research. I don't even know what language it's in.
Hey, guys, let's talk about the fight scenes. We talked about Nyssa versus Kitana, which was awesome.
Absolutely.
I wanted more. They teased it. It could be so good, and then it didn't happen. I was like, oh. I mean, it was good what we got. Don't get me wrong. I'm just greedy and want more.
Well, we started off the episode with Nyssa breaking out of Nanda Parbat and going with her co-conspirator, just taking on all the ninjas and the assassins in the hallway. And then assassin versus assassin in the main viewing chamber there. And all I could think when Nyssa was coming out of there, of the prison with a knife, is, oh, someone's going to get shanked. And sure enough, Nyssa with the knife.
So someone did, in fact, get shanked, but I was sitting there, I was going, you know, she really didn't need this knife to break out, because she kicks the door into the guy and knocks him on the ground and then slits his throat. I was like, you could just do that and then knock him out and steal his weapon. I was like, no, it's a cool effect. Hiding the knife inside the pepper, it's awesome. It's just not really necessary, it doesn't seem like.
So
I'm a nitpicker.
Yeah, right. And I'm going to nitpick that fight, that whole fight scene, the hallway fight scene, if you will. And it was fast cuts. There was a lot of action, but it was fast cuts. And I was looking at the kill shots, the death shots or whatever. It was kind of glanced over. You didn't really feel like the people were actually getting dead. And at one point in time, she takes a sword and cuts somebody's chest in half or whatever. It looked like she was holding the sword away, and it just looked like it was grazing the shirt. It did not look like she was actually cutting. So it was not my favorite fight scene, but I kind of just went with it. Like, okay, there's mass mayhem going on. There's a lot of death or whatever. But the stunt guys were all askewed. It didn't seem like they were as high caliber as stunt guys, or they didn't have enough rehearsal time or whatever into the scene. I don't know. That's just what I took from it. Maybe I was just in a bad mood because I was on the elliptical when I was watching it. I don't know. What'd you guys think of that?
It wasn't quite up to what we'd seen before. I agree with that. But come on. It's fight scenes. I got distracted by the pretty shinies.
I actually took a pause with that same. It was a horizontal cut across that assassin's chest. And it's like, huh, not sure that sword actually split the armor or the clothing. Just kind of ran against the top. But then when we had the Nyssa Katana fight, Team Arrow versus Roy fight, Mr. Fantastic versus Roy fight, and Team Arrow versus the Calculator's dark web internet thugs, I was like, damn, that's a lot of fight choreography. So the amount of time they had for each of these fights was probably pretty minimal.
I did like how Mr. Fantastic, Curtis, stood up to Roy. He didn't win, but he got his shots in. I was impressed.
Sorry, and I just crossed the streams, Mr. Terrific. You know, it was not a member of the Fantastic Four fighting Roy. So
I was like, did Secret War cross over into the Arrow universe?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yes, that is true. Your producer will read anything you put in front of him.
Oh, this is going to be like an Anchorman moment. Go bleep yourself, San Diego.
So Mr. Terrific had a great fight scene against Roy. He was holding his own. I don't believe we've seen him in a fight scene before. We've seen him in action scenes before, but we've never seen him fight. He had some moves. I was impressed.
We've seen him get shot at, but this is the first time he's really had to do much, because in one of the very first episodes, he and Felicity were getting shot at, and he's like, oh, you're a badass, or something like that.
And then the other scene that was notable to me was when Roy was running away from the explosion, and he hung on to the line as he was coming down. That was awesome.
So all I could think was that Will Ferrell music video they did for one of the music awards, where it's cool guys don't look at explosions, and it's just all these montages, everyone walking away. I'm like, it's damn cool what they're doing, but cool guys don't look at explosions.
That's right.
Let's talk about Roy. It was so great to have Roy back in this episode, but honestly, did you think he was going to die in that final scene, Chris? Was this our goodbye when you saw it?
I thought they wouldn't be shocked if they killed him. That being said, I was not really banking on him being killed, because I thought he needed some closure of some kind with Thea, and I didn't think they were going to leave that thread unpulled.
SP, what about you? Did you think he was not going to make it out of the building?
Yeah, at first I thought he wasn't going to make it out of the building, but then when I saw him escape the building, what I thought was going to happen is shrapnel was going to come and kick him in the back, right? He'd land there, he'd see Ollie was smiling back and forth, and I thought he was going to keel over. And that didn't happen. I was like, oh, thank God it didn't happen.
I'm not the darkest one on the podcast.
Listen, SP, Unagi. Because I was like, all right, he made it out. Oh, no, they can still kill him. I bet it's shrapnel. Oh, it's not shrapnel. He's alive. Huh.
Guys, this isn't Battlestar Galactica. They don't make it dark and then twist the knife by killing someone unexpectedly.
So I forgot, though, that he hadn't had his last goodbye scene with Thea. We see that later, and I was like, oh, that's why they didn't do it. And I think they just left it open for him to come back from some time. Obviously, he's still got his costume. or it's somewhere in the lair or whatever. And, you know, hey, pretty cool. Hey, by the way, the iChip technology, that is awesome. I think it came from Mr. Terrific's computer, though, because wasn't he developing one? That was one of the things that he was trying to develop to save the company last fall.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
It was 4K TV or whatever.
And all I thought was it was the Deathlok iChip technology from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm like, hang on. No. Wrong universe.
And if you want to hear all about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., go listen to another podcast on the network called Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., found at gunnageek.com.
We might know a couple people on that podcast.
Just a few.
Hey, listen, SP, you talked about Ollie and his awesome parkour and his fight with Roy. When I saw him jumping over and around those, if you're a fan of Stephen Amell, you've been watching his workout videos. And I was just like, you know, that's why he works out at a parkour and an MMA gym, so he can do those real physical scenes himself. And I was like, maybe in a couple of scenes they cut away to a stunt double, but I could swear that majority of that was Captain Amell doing his thing. And it actually made me think back to episode one, where the newly returned from the island, Ollie, did massive amounts of parkour and then just grabbed that thug and broke his neck. I'm like, oh, I miss badass Ollie.
I know. It seemed a little slow to me. Now, I'm not going to take anything away from him because Lord knows I couldn't do that right now. I'm recovering from another back injury that happened a few months ago. I'm just getting back into the gym now. But that whole sequence seemed a little slow. The truck was moving slow. They were running slow. But I let it slide. I'm like, okay, you know, this is not a superhero. He's not Flash. He's almost a street brawler with a bow and arrow. So, okay, I can live with it. And it was fun to watch. I mean, you knew what was going to happen. It was fun to watch.
Chris, what did you think of Ollie in the rest of the episode? We touched on the fact that he is the king of blaming himself for everything and parkour, but what about the whole Damian Dark strategy? What the hell?
Well, first, I just want to say I didn't get it until the very end that he felt guilty about everything. It just didn't sink in. But going back to the topic at hand, Damian Dark, I understand what he's doing because this is what happens with Oliver. If his family's in trouble, he gets desperate. He makes desperate moves. And reaching out to try and talk to Damian was a desperate move. But I kind of liked the fact that it's Malcolm that talked him down. And then I felt dirty about the fact that I liked the fact that it was Malcolm that talked him down, because he's not supposed to be a voice of reason.
John Barrowman is the voice of reason? Where did that come from?
I don't know where it came from. It kind of blew my mind. I'm sitting there, I'm like, Malcolm Merlyn, who is a terrible human being, I actually agree with something he's saying here, where he's like, I have to respect her decisions, because that's something Oliver doesn't do well, is respect people's decisions. He wants to save them whether they want it or not normally. And I think it's kind of a big step for his character here to realize, you know what? I kind of have to do what Thea wants here. I can't force my way of saving everyone into place.
So the whole Malcolm thing, all I was thinking the whole time is he's ignoring his responsibility as his Roz. He's completely ignoring it because his baby girl.
That's how this rebellion's happening.
Right. And what's happening with Nyssa and everything. I mean, it all ties together at the end. Nyssa comes in, you have to kill Malcolm. And, you know, Ollie's like, yeah, but Malcolm's Thea's dad. I can't do it. It's that look in his face, right?
Well, there's also the fact that he's never beat Malcolm Merlyn in a fight or Ra's al Ghul in a fight.
That's not true. He has beaten him in season one.
Yeah, totally. And he beat Ra's at the hydroelectric dam there. So he knows he can beat the real Ra's al Ghul. And then he just kind of gave the ring of the demon to this Ra's al Ghul. I think he has evolved to the point where he could take Malcolm out. Didn't he beat Malcolm in season one by sticking the arrow through himself, though? I mean, as wins go,
okay,
that's not a clear victory.
He kind of lost to win.
You got to do what you got to do, you know?
Yeah, this is going to hurt me almost as much as it's going to hurt you.
Well, the guy has come back from the dead, so, you know, he has sacrificed for
Who
his
hasn't
art.
On this show, though? Let's be honest.
Laurel hasn't died, has she?
I hope it sticks when she does.
Yeah, okay. Oh, harsh.
I can't even talk.
You just served me up right there. What was I supposed to do?
We didn't get a lot of Diggle and Laurel as focal characters this episode. Maybe that's a good transition. And given that we spent the entire last episode looking at Diggle. Perhaps that was fair, but I think they're saving up a Laurel-centric episode yet to come, Chris. So don't you worry. We'll get more Laurel.
You know what was my favorite scene of Laurel and Diggle in this episode? Again, back to the explosion. They're all waiting outside. They turn and look at the explosion. And then she's just standing there with that comic book pose, you know, that ready to strike pose. And I'm like, yeah, baby, you're looking pretty good there. And Diggle's there with his Spartan helmet and Oliver, whatever. And then they see it. I mean, the whole scene was great with Rory coming down and everything. So it was all cool. I liked it.
It was comic booky goodness. I like it too.
Exactly.
But this is pretty cool. I mean, we've gotten two episodes in a row where a lot of the episode revolves around Felicity. Felicity's hacking, Felicity's owning of the wheelchair and the presentation this week. Props to Felicity. And I think they know that Emily Bett Records is a fan favorite. So giving us more Felicity, SP, you probably are okay with that.
Yeah, just a little bit. I was just watching the episode, looking at all the quotes that I was going to, and I was like, oh, which one do I choose? Which one do I choose? Like the bomb quote, the one about making all the bombs and stuff like that. And there have been some episodes that she hardly says a word. And I'm glad we're not there anymore because she has so much screen presence. She's in her character. She's part of the team. She knows what she's doing. And she is just, as an actor, she's just eating up this wheelchair thing because she is just having, you can tell she's having fun. And we get the ramp. We have the ramp to the platform. It's been built overnight.
And they had this nice West Wing sweeping camera as people are walking slash rolling down the ramp going with it. I was like, nice touch.
Oh, she was on it.
In fact, if you've caught our sister show Flash this week, there's one point where Cisco Ramon throws his hands up. He's like, who's the world's best hacker? And the rest of Team Flash in unison goes, Felicity. So her presence is felt across the Flaro universe.
Absolutely. And soon to be felt across the Supergirl universe as well. What are we going to call the three universes as they're mashed together?
Well, so it depends on the theory of how they cross over to Supergirl, whether they're truly connected or not.
So we'll wait till March. We'll see how they do it. And then we'll come up with a nickname. Fair enough. But Daddy shows up.
My dad's here?
Yeah, Felicity's dad.
No. Oh.
Listen, and I think we talked about the fan theories and the rumors last week that it was going to be revealed as Felicity's dad. Now, do you remember what you guys said in the prior podcast, whether or not that was going to be the case?
I'm pretty sure when Mundi Miracle hinted at it, we all kind of went, oh, yeah, she's probably going to be meeting her dad.
Yeah. Yeah, but whether or not we're going to get it in this episode.
I don't remember what I said.
I'm pretty sure I called it like last week, if not the week before, but I'm pretty sure it was last week.
I think I am the only one that said, no, it won't happen this episode. They're going to drag it out. So I was wrong.
Good. I'm glad you called it. I didn't want to call out a fellow co-host.
No, you do that. I will take full credit. I'm totally wrong.
SP was right.
It happens once in a while.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while, right?
Broken clock is right twice a day.
Twice a day.
That's me. I'm still waiting. It's going to be interesting. I think what this means, and Brian Tudor in the chat calls it, that by bringing this element of a family relationship and a tie to an antagonist within the episode, we are going to get this continuing theme of Felicity being central to the progression of the plot. And that's very cool. Well, let's face it. She is more than just another supporting character. She drives the plot forward. She is the emotional tie to the episode because Ollie can be a bit of a emotional brick from time to time.
It's all the guilt, man. It's all the guilt.
Exactly. So more Felicity and Felicity tied to the central progression of the rest of the season. Bring it. Like, she's killing it on screen.
Hopefully not literally.
Yes.
Please don't put her in the grave. If anyone from Arrow is watching, don't do it.
Maybe if I call it that she's in the grave, because now apparently Neil isn't witty is wrong, not SP. So yeah, maybe she's in the grave.
Felicity? She can't be in the grave. She's in the limo afterwards.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Okay. Hey, listen, though, we skipped over our trademarked villain of the week scale.
Mm-hmm.
So guys, we had the calculator join us, Felicity's dad. So on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is Wile E. Coyote and 10 is Deathstroke, Let's start with SP this week. SP, where would you rate the calculator?
Well, first of all, I got to say, I need that setup, that round setup that we've seen before of villain hackers in the middle of the room with monitors and everything. No cords, by the way, no cord mess. They have good cord management, right? I mean, you should see behind this desk. It is scary. Okay. So, first of all, I love the setup. Second of all, I was thinking on the scale of where to go. And the first thing that I came with was, you know, maybe Lex Murphy, who is the hacker in the original Jurassic Park. I was thinking, yeah, maybe, because that girl could do just about anything, but she's not really a villain, right? So then I thought, as villains go, I'm going to go with the MCP. Yes, from the original Tron, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
The big bad MCP, which is beatable, right? Very intertwined in the universe, but beatable. So that's where I call the calculator. Chris, where are you?
Out of 1 to 10, what is that?
I'm like, okay, it's going to be 1 to 10. It's going to be alphanumeric? What the heck?
Do I have to translate it from into hexadecimal and then the ASCII and then the...
Right. You got to go Martian on this. Okay.
SP, that was 01101110001. That's hilarious.
That's binary. No, I'm not doing binary. I'm doing ASCII or hexadecimal. All right, so on a scale of 1 to 10, so we really haven't seen his true abilities, and he didn't know what he was up against, right?
Still doesn't.
So I'm thinking that, especially since he poked his head out at the end, he's got to be part of the board at Palmer Tech. So he's got some oomph to him. Didn't just show up for the lack of nothing, right? So I'm thinking it's going to be, he's not going to be as good as like Malcolm was in season one or any of the baddies around the ring of we have to save this city sort of thing by killing it. I think I'm going to go with a 6, possibly a 7, but definitely a 6.
I figured he'd go higher just because that's Felicity's dad.
You got to show me the goods. And he has sort of showed me the goods, but Felicity was able to beat him. But now that of course she cheated.
In an even playing field, he beat her earlier, you see.
Right.
I'm just playing devil's advocate, I'll be honest.
Okay, what's your ranking, sir?
7.1, The Price is Right, you know.
I'm a 6, so you don't have to do that.
Yeah, honestly, if I had to rate it, it's probably about a 5, 5.5. It's just enough for us to get a hint of what he can do. He's a guy that sits behind the strings and pulls the strings and stuff, but doesn't get involved physically, which is kind of different from most of our recent Arrow villains who might pull some strings, but they still go out there and fight and things like that. So it's a different kind of villain.
Yeah. And you know what, Chris? I am going to echo a 5 because I gave Shadow Spire a 6 because they took out 2 Argus agents. They killed Amanda Waller and they took over the Argus HQ. And we have not seen those capabilities or that ability to execute from the calculator yet. Now, maybe, you know what? I'll move him to 5.5 because he was able to blackmail Roy into stealing a bunch of cool stuff. So he gets a 5.5. He is not at the midpoint. He's a bit more, but I can't see him yet. Not that he doesn't have the potential to pull off a Shadow Spire type heist for me, but he's a 5.5.
See, I think Damien's got this team surrounded. He's got the calculator in his pocket. He's got Alex, the intern dude, and he's got the, you know, the mayoral candidate. And I think Damien's just got this team surrounded. He knows more than you think he does.
So we think the calculator works for Damien.
He's partnering with him. Absolutely.
Interesting.
Really? You want to put a nickel on that?
Nickel bet. This is too rich for my blood.
Nickel? Yeah. Are you kidding? That's like 2 cents American. Got it.
Oh, wow.
And good luck cashing that 2 cents in Canada too, by the way, because I know you got rid of all your pennies.
But I'm Canadian, so as Cajun Sean said, I'll give you a nickel back.
Yeah,
no, there you go. Can keep it. We don't want that nickel back.
We don't want any of your dirty plastic in this country. Yeah.
Well, StarSaber_222, consultant Black Adam in the chat, actually said that he recognized the battering ram. He called it out. He said, well, you used a battering ram to get through, so maybe he understands what's going on in Palmer Tech. Maybe he has tentacles spreading throughout the corporate web, or maybe he's involved with Palmer. So we got to give him some credit for that, but I'm still sticking at 5.5.
But within Palmer Tech, of course, we have the big presentation. We have Curtis, the genius behind this technology. And as I said before, we see the T-Sphere. But more importantly, he's supporting Felicity.
Yeah, he was the one that said, listen, this is the Felicity when she came in looking for the battering ram. He said, this is the Felicity I know, the badass, the Felicity that takes on the armed gunman, the Felicity that won't let anything fluster her or get in her way, the hacker, the woman that figured out that Ray Palmer was still alive. And he gave her that emotional or perhaps intellectual kick in the butt to make that presentation. And let's face it, she has not been acting in any capacity that resembles the CEO of Palmer Tech. She needed Curtis to say, listen, this is who you are, and you can do this. Because you let the board replace you on the launch of a marquee product, you're gone. You are not the face of the company anymore.
And he's right.
I like the face. It's a pretty face. She's smart, too. It's all good, folks. So everybody had a successful moment at the end. They had the great launch. It's not only powering this presentation, but it's powering this building. And all I'm thinking of, again, with the cord management, that's a lot of power. And I don't see big electrical shielded cords running from there. So I'm kind of wondering how that is all working out.
I was wondering when Loki was going to use it to open a dimensional portal.
Yeah, I was actually wondering how it compared for battery life against an arc reactor.
Yeah, me too.
Powering that building. I was just like, huh, do we have a big queue on the outside of the building? I think we do. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, guess what? Roy Palmer needs something to power his suit throughout the ages when he's not busy losing pieces of it.
Spoiler alert.
I know. Okay, so we end all our discussions with who's in the grave. So as we rolled through this episode, did you guys change your minds on who's in the grave? Chris.
It's me. I'm in the grave. I can't handle this prediction stuff anymore. I keeled over before they revealed it for real. So it's me.
Right, Neil?
As much as I hate to admit it, I am staying strong with Team Mama Smoke is Dead.
And I'm with Quentin Lance because, you know, he's spending an awful lot of time down in LA dating his new girl.
So looking in the chat room real quick, Brian Tudor had said earlier, her mom, as in Felicity's mom, is in the grave because Arrow doesn't have the stones to kill a real main character. And Cajun Sean says he thinks it's either Thea or John in the grave. And meanwhile, Black Adam had said Thea went up a couple percent for me. I think they want us to think Thea now. They're doing a good job just screwing with us by tossing and sprinkling more stuff in. And I just tend not to think it when they want me to think that.
Yeah, and there's a great news article that we're going to talk about in our news section that deals with some outlying conspiracy theories about who could be in the grave and who Felicity could be referring to, which I don't think we've talked about. But it'd be neat to throw into the mix and see if it changes our predictions at all.
Indeed.
Okay, so as we close out the episode discussion, a couple of weeks ago, we had hashtag Scary McBurnface. Then we had hashtag no one got shanked. In this episode, what is your hashtag, gentlemen? Neil?
Hashtag more Nyssa.
Hashtag Nyssa is free.
There you go.
Star Saver, someone got shanked as the
hashtag. And this is why we do a live show, people.
No, you won. Adam wins. Adam wins.
Adam for the win. Keisha Chan comes in with hashtag more katana. I like it, but I think Adam wins this one with hashtag someone got shanked. All right.
I hope it's Scary McBurnface next time.
So anything else, Chris, on this episode that you want to talk about before we close it up?
I'm drawing a blank right now.
Neil?
Are we going to get more Roy guys, or is this his final goodbye?
It's probably the end, but they set it up that he can come back if necessary, because he made a big point of saying he has to go deeper underground now. So Colton Hayes is probably gone working on some other projects, and maybe another year down the line, they might be like, hey, you want to come back for a one-off? And they have the door open.
Because you never know when you get John Constantined.
Yeah, that's so much fun.
Yeah, and the last thing I want to call out is the fact that the running joke of Felicity not liking the calculator as the villain's name was pretty amusing throughout the episode.
It's true.
Don't call him that. Don't call him that. There's probably a backstory to that too, which maybe she knew it was Daddy's nickname in the past. I don't know. We'll see. So next week, Neil, what do we got?
Next week, we have episode 13 of season 4, Sins of the Father. It seems like it's going to be an exciting episode. Oliver receives an offer from Nyssa, which we saw at the end of this season. That's hard to refuse. And we know how he feels about Thea, so I get that. Meanwhile, Thea continues to battle the bloodlust. Malcolm steps in to help his daughter, and Laurel, Katie Cassidy, has a heart-to-heart talk with Nyssa. And if you remember that Laurel was being trained by Nyssa near the end, so you get that. The director is going to be Gordon Verhul, writers Ben Solowiecki, and as I mentioned earlier, Kito Shimizu.
We've had Ben write some before that were really good too, so that's a good team.
That's the A team.
I'm looking forward to it. So every episode, every time that there's a real Arrow episode on, because we have some shows that are not on Arrow. I mean, it's all Arrow related, but like we do comic book stuff and movie stuff or whatever. But every episode that we do, every podcast that we do on an Arrow episode, we talk about Easter eggs. Chris, what kind of Easter eggs do we have this week?
So we'll start out first. Amertek Industries was shown and mentioned. They're known in the comics for their biggest gun, the Toastmaster, the BG-80, which was created by a man by the name of John Henry Irons. And if you're a Superman fan, you might recognize him as Steel, a.k.a. Shaq from a terrible movie in the 90s. No, I kid. He was actually a movie, but... So it is the character Steel who created the weapon that Amertek Industries sold, and I believe he was a higher-up and a bigwig at Amertek. So it was just kind of cool seeing their toss in there for DC lore.
The second Easter egg that we got this week, and let's be honest, it's not much of an Easter egg, but it was the return of Arsenal. So Roy Harper came back. He had a long career in the comics as Roy Harper, the initial Speedy, and then later as Arsenal, both with the Teen Titans and with Green Arrow. And then actually, if you take a look at Justice League Unlimited and Young Justice, which was, wow, pulling a deep cut there. He was the first member of Young Justice. They got promoted to the Justice League. Turns out he was a clone at the end of the day. So he's got a long career in the DC universe. I really recommend taking a look at the DC Comics library. And maybe during the summer, we'll take a deep dive into what Roy Harper has done from his early days dealing with heroin to his later days coming into his own and even to Convergence when he was the star of one of the Convergence titles.
And I don't know if you guys watched Young Justice, the cartoon series. They did a great job of doing a twist on Roy Harper's problems out of the comics and making it work in a cartoon.
Totally.
I definitely need to learn more about the Teen Titans as a whole. And now that the show has been canceled, I'm wondering if more of the Teen Titans will be brought in to some of the other shows like Arrow, Flash, or Supergirl. So we'll see about that. So what do we got next, Chris?
Next up, we have Cadmus Tech. And you guys might be familiar with Cadmus, getting mentioned a variety of places, especially in the Justice League cartoon. That's mostly where I remembered it, which is basically a laboratory that does a lot of superhero research and responsible for cloning and things like that. So we got a nice little prop that mentions Cadmus Tech, and it was just a nice jumping off point for me to recognize that. I'm sure they were in the comics and I'm blanking on where they were in the comics. They might've had something to do with Superboy Prime. I can't remember.
Yeah. So Cadmus, and this is where, as soon as I saw it, this was one of those, you know, grab my significant other, my wife and shove her. I'm like, oh, that says Cadmus. Do you know what that means? So Project Cadmus actually comes up again throughout, I believe, Young Justice and Justice League Unlimited. And they were involved with the cloning of Superboy in the Young Justice series. They are another Amanda Waller-related organization within the DC universe. I was excited. I'm like, wow, this could be huge. It shows up in Batman Beyond. It shows up in Earth 51, so one of the alternate universes. It shows up in JLA and in Justice League 3000. It is a big deal in multiple threads within the DC comic universe. So the fact that we have a Cadmus, if you remember back to last week, what could step in and take the place of Argus if they remove this governmental organization? Cadmus is a viable option. So
that's true.
Pretty cool.
Yes, Adam in the chat brings up, wasn't Cadmus responsible for Galatea and Justice League Unlimited? Yeah, they were. They created Galatea and a bunch of cloned superheroes also to have their own version of the Justice League and could stand up to the Justice League if necessary.
All right, Neil, what do we got next?
Next up, another pretty obvious one. We saw Pennytown. So if you're a fan of classic Green Lantern, Pennytown is a borough of Star City that we see all the time. And it's where Damian Dark and Ruva Adams are hanging out. It's interesting that in New 52, Pennytown is actually a fictional suburb of Seattle, which is cool. So I actually, being in Star City, I'm pretty close to Seattle. There's a Bell Town, so it sounds like it could actually be a real thing. So it was cool to get a callback to something that we've seen in the comics as far as Seattle and Star City are concerned.
The next thing that's listed in the article is not actually a DC comic book Easter egg, but it is a real thing. So I'm a rocket scientist. You're going to get some rocket science here. And yes, I did just use that term. So that's the cue if you're into the Gonna Geek network drinking game to take a drink. So a Faraday cage is basically this big metal screen that's around an object, a building, a little box, a room or whatever. And the metal is spaced out enough so that it prevents signals, RF signals, electromagnetic signals from going back and forth. So it's a real scientific thing. And apparently in this episode, that is the context in which Felicity used it. So it's real science in this episode. Probably the first time ever that we get real science in Arrow, but we do. So
No. SP, it's all an homage to King Faraday, who's a super spy in the DC comic world. I'm kidding. It actually could be. Some people theorized it might be, but a Faraday cage is real, guys.
The next Easter egg was actually pretty cool. So if you listened and caught where Roy Harper was in hiding, he was hiding in Hub City. Now, if you're a fan of the comics, you'll know that there's a very noir character called The Question, which has elements of mysticism and elements of a noir detective genre. And the character Vic Sage, The Question, hangs out in Hub City. And again, if you were a Justice League Unlimited fan, they had some pretty cool Question-specific episodes. Now the question is, will we get him on the show? See what I did there? The question is...
The question. Oh, there's a pun for you. Banned in China. Hashtag banned in China. There you go. All right. Chris, what do we got next?
So the final one we've got is the Calculator is introduced. And if you're not familiar, originally Calculator was pretty much a Z-grade villain in the Batman comics. He was literally a giant calculator. He dressed up in costume like that before he rebranded himself as basically an anti-Oracle, and aka Oracle Barbara Gordon in the Batman books. He was a tech genius that worked for the bad guys, basically. And if you want something ironic, he's kind of the premise for a character named Prometheus that Grant Morrison created. And Prometheus might have killed Roy Harper in the Green Arrow comics.
Well, and actually, Prometheus is more famous for being a Batman villain, so we can bring back the Batman checklist, guys.
Nice.
But Prometheus, while some people think he killed Roy Harper, Prometheus actually... in the Justice League Cry for Justice graphic novel, cut off Roy's arm. So we've made reference to the fact that Roy gets a cybernetic arm in the future. He didn't actually kill Roy, but the Cry for Justice series has a very Green Arrow-centric ending. Now, it has come under a ton of scrutiny. A lot of people really hate Cry for Justice. But what's important if we shift back to the Calculator from Prometheus is that through several Justice League series, he is exactly like Oracle. In fact, supervillains call the Calculator to get their assignments, and he's kind of like a central clearinghouse for people that need bad things done. Now, if you go back even further to like the 50s and 60s, he had a purple bodysuit with a big calculator on the front of it. If you're curious, listener, go to the internet. There are lots of great pictures. And
yeah, there are pictures on the internet, Neil. Absolutely. A lot of great pictures, too.
Ah, come on now. But that is not the iteration of the calculator that we got. It's more an Oracle-like calculator.
All right. So we're going to keep this kid friendly, as we always do. We're a clean podcast. And Neil had an oblique moment this week, and we're going to talk about it. So, Neil, what happened to you this week?
So, One of the problems with living in both Star City and Starling City, fortunately in the Storybrooke suburb of those towns, is that you run into supervillains from time to time. We've talked about on the podcast my narrow miss with Damian Dark at a Sport Check location buying running shoes, but I could not avoid Heat Wave last weekend. So my wife and I were at a steakhouse, and a rather large gentleman with very little hair sits down at the table right across from us. And it was pretty cool. My wife and I are at a table for two, and there are these little booths that faced into the restaurant right around the edge. So effectively, they're staring at us eat our meal the entire time. Now, they kind of had curtains on either side, but I'm like, hey, sweetie, I think that's Heat Wave. She's like, who's Heat Wave? And the reality is we watch Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow together. And when I talked to her about this, that comment afterwards, she's like, at first I thought it was like a wrestler. And she's like, why the heck would I know a wrestler? But when I pointed out the fact that it was character from Flash, and it was Dominic Purcell and his date for the evening. Now you can imagine, here I said, I'm having a nice meal with my wife. We got a bottle of wine. We got decent food. It's like, when do I go over? When is the right time to say something? Do I just fanboy out and keep it internal the entire time? Or do I figure out how it's polite and, more importantly, non-intrusive? Because just like anybody else, he is trying to enjoy a meal out with somebody.
You don't know that. He could have been testing out some heist techniques. You could have been robbed.
He could have been wanting to rob the entire steakhouse.
Yeah, see?
He loves the steakhouse.
I love the 70s.
I wish I could deliver a line like he does like that. So I know. Well done.
And that's what makes it even harder is I really love the character of Heatwave, and Dominic Purcell is a great actor. So I timed it such that it was before his meal arrived. I did not want to interrupt him in the middle. I did not want to interrupt him in the middle of a conversation with the person he was having dinner with. So he had sat down after we had had the majority of our meal. In between courses at both our table and before they had their meal, I got up, and just to make sure I had got it right, I'm like, Mr. Purcell? He's like, yes. I'm like, I'd just like to say, I am a huge fan of your work on Flash and Legends of Tomorrow. I love what you've done with the character of Heatwave. And I speak for a lot of fans when I say we're really appreciative of what you've brought to the screen. And he's like, thank you. And I said, I'm on a podcast called The Starling Tribune that talks about Arrow. And I've guest starred on a podcast that talks about The Flash. And I got to say, my thoughts are shared by a lot of people out there that you are really a fan favorite. And his date said, I hope you said good things. And I said, yes, ma'am, we have said a lot of good things about your character. And he said, thank you. And I said, I'm sorry to interrupt. I did not want to intrude on your meal. Have a great dinner. And thank you again. And he said, thank you. He was very polite. And I sat down and I did not look at him again once more throughout the entire meal. I'm like, I will focus on my wife, the meal, and the nice bottle of wine we had, and let him do his thing. And that was it.
If you were a true podcaster, you would have had your microphone in your pants and you would have brought it out with a silver Sharpie, because it's a black microphone, and you would have asked him to sign it. See, that would have been a true podcaster. Actually, a true podcaster would have taken their Zoom H5 out and recorded a little snippet, but hey, I get it. You don't want to interrupt. I mean, it was dinner. It's not like he's at a con appearance or anything. He's just trying to enjoy a good night out. Although you probably did the best thing, is just compliment him while he was there and just let it ride. So
Dominic Purcell is just a guy like anybody else. And I'm sure he gets a lot of it here in Vancouver, of people coming up to him. So it was compliment him, say I appreciate his work, and then just get out of his face, you know, and let him finish his meal.
Right. So thank you. If Dominic Purcell happens to listen to this, thank you very much. And for just being a great guy and indulging Neil. That was awesome.
And what's interesting is I spoke to the waitress afterwards, after he left, and I had to geek out. I'm like, do you know who that was at that table? She's like, well, I recognize the woman, but not the guy. I'm like, seriously? And the waitress said she was actually on Beverly Hills 90210, the most recent. And she thinks she was on a local show recently. And I took a look, and the actor or the actress on that show was in the pilot of Lucifer, another DC title through the Vertigo imprint, who was the character of, God, was it Desdemona? It was the character that was the singer who was killed off in the pilot episode. So if you're watching Lucifer, which is another DC show, she had another opportunity to star in that. So that was pretty cool. She was incredibly hot and very charming. So
let's move on with stories for the week. We're running a little bit long, so we got to go a little bit quick here. So first of all, we do have, we'll put it in the show notes. There's a synopsis for episode 14 is out, which is labeled Code of Silence, and that we will have in the show notes. There's another article that we want to talk about a little bit, though. It was an article about grave conspiracy theories. And really, really shortly, Chris, can you summarize this really short?
So remember, we have that quote of, you've got to kill him, right? That Felicity says, I'm paraphrasing Oliver. Well, the theory they have here is, what if it's not necessarily Neil McDonough's character, Damien Dark,
yeah,
who does the killing, but what if it's the calculator who's actually responsible? And that's who Oliver's got to kill. And who might he be killing? There's a theory it might be not Damien Dark. I don't know what's wrong with me. Malcolm Merlyn. There's too many characters this week, guys. Yeah. It's all boom in my head.
And there's even more if you watch Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Could you imagine how hardcore that would be for Felicity looking over at Ollie and saying, you need to kill him? And knowing that that is her father, that she is so mad that the act that has been done by this villain makes her want to kill her own father. That mm-hmm. would be a huge twist of the knife.
It would. And it would legitimize your theory that Mama Smoke is in the grave. Because if Dad killed Mom, you could tell how she would be so distraught and want to have that happen.
Is this a Dateline Friday Night Mystery now? Dad's killing Mom and...
Those are nasty.
Yeah.
SP, you just actually took my breath away when you said that. I'm like, holy... That takes it up another level. Mm-hmm. Where the calculator, through something he did, I could see it actually be inadvertent, where he's planning a heist or something to take out the police, and Mama Smoke is there with Captain Lance, and she's the one who gets killed. Wow, that would, ouch.
Yeah, I thought that immediately when I was reading that article. I was like, oh, I could see it happening. Now, because of that, I might want to change. I'll have to think about it. I might want to change who I think is in the grave, but it would allow Quentin Lance to remain in the show. And he's a regular. I mean, he hasn't been around the last few weeks, but he is a regular. So I could see that. And he's one of the few remaining infrastructure pieces in Star City. He's probably almost the highest ranking person of anybody. So, I mean, look, Oliver Queen's running for mayor. So there you go.
Yeah. The other conspiracy theory that was brought up in that article is that maybe it's Malcolm Merlyn. Maybe we're talking about you need to kill him. Malcolm lets Thea die, or Malcolm does something. And let's face it, Malcolm Merlyn has been one of the longest running, worst Green Arrow villains. The fact that, you know, if he loses control of the League of Assassins, he will be unhappy and he may blame Oliver Queen. To bring him back as the main protagonist, and remember, he doesn't have another starring role on another show. Like, Arrow is what he's got going on. And if that is the last episode of this season, which sets up a brand new Merlyn arc for season 5. Wow. I mean, that blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be awesome.
It would.
It'd be cool.
So we'll wait and see. But if you haven't read this article yet, it is in the show notes. So go check it out and then give us your theories on, based on this article, who you think is in the grave and who you think Oliver has to go kill. Okay. One last news story for this week. Colton Hayes has something going on, doesn't he, Chris?
He does indeed. He's going to be voicing Thor in an upcoming, I can't remember. You blind tossed me.
Neil, what does Colton Hayes have going on?
Well, a lot of these actors get to play characters in multiple different series. Colton Hayes is going to be in the cast of Marvel Avengers Academy. So he is going to be Thor. which is pretty cool. So Marvel Avengers Academy takes slightly younger versions of all these characters in an animated series. And you could see Thor as a bro in high school. He's got the hair. He's got the arms. He's got the pecs. I see Colton Hayes as the perfect high school Thor bro.
Yeah. So I love these crossovers with animated series and everything. Like director Maria Hill or agent Maria Hill is Wonder Woman in the Lego movie and everything. I just love it. It's great. So moving on to our comic and news story section this week. And this is what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode. Green Arrow number 49 hit the shelves, and not just one, but there was a variant cover as well. Wasn't there, Neil?
You know, I knew that Green Arrow 49 was coming out and it deals with, let's face it, the werewolf arc that is still all going. But SP, when you sent me your comic shop pick, this week I'm doing Pure Comixology, so you don't get the variant covers. I'm like, that's classic Oliver Queen. That's classic Green Lantern. That's a variant cover. That's not fair.
Both Green Arrow and Green Lantern had classic variant covers by Neil. What's his name? Neil Adams.
Neil Adams.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So it was fun to see those on the shelves.
This week in Green Arrow number 49, which dropped on February 3rd, the Patriots have been cleared of any wrongdoing in the Midnight Parade attack. If you've been following post-convergence Green Arrow, which only encourages what Green Arrow sees as state-sanctioned violence against the wargs. How can Oliver hide his symptoms of the Leucos infection while keeping the city safe from a brewing war? So again, it's part of the lycanthropy arc. And again, if you've been following Marvel Comics, you know that we also have Cap Wolf. So it's one of those interesting scenarios where you've got the big two with kind of parallel storylines going on in different titles, which happens from time to time.
Yep. So also we have a chance for you to win a Felicity Smoke Pop Funko figure, don't we, Neil?
Yeah. So Emily Bett Rickards actually Instagrammed the prototype of the Felicity Smoke Pop vinyl a few weeks ago from Funko Pop. And just yesterday, so on the 3rd of February, 2016, and keep in mind, these contests usually run for 3 or 4 days, depending on listener when you're catching this episode. But if you go to Twitter and follow and retweet Original Funko or at Original Funko, their tweet with Felicity Smoke Pop Vinyl, you are entered into a chance to win the Felicity Pop Vinyl. And I don't know why we just told everybody, because I am entered and every single one of you has just decreased my chance to win this Felicity Smoke
Pop. Here's how we can help increase your chances. They're also doing a Captain Cold one right now, guys. So go and you all won't go for that one. Let Neil get Felicity. Take one for the Starling Tribune team here. Let Neil get Felicity.
Yes, I will let Neil have the Pop Funko Felicity, even though it's great. I'll go ahead and buy it. You can have it, Neil.
All right. Adam already entered. You're going to compete there.
Damn it.
They probably don't even ship to Canada anyways. It's okay.
So talking about Adam, we got some feedback this week. We did get some feedback from Adam. Thank you very much, sir. Gentlemen, here we go.
Hey, guys, it's Adam calling in with my thoughts on this week's episode of Arrow. And first off, way too much stuff happened in this week's episode of Arrow. I understand how it ties in with the Thea plot, but I kind of wish they had held off on the Nyssa stuff, or, you know, just not done the flashbacks this week, because, I mean, we had Roy back, which, I mean, makes having the Thea stuff in this episode make sense for that additional emotional resonance there. We had that, we had the big Palmer Tech presentation, Calculator, who, yeah, I mean, people have been calling it for over a year now that Felicity's father was going to end up being Calculator, but yeah, we have confirmation of that now. And, you know, one thing I don't get is, why doesn't Barry run over Harry's chair for Felicity to use rather than her having to use an arm-powered one? Because with Wells, he had the little joystick to move his wheelchair that he didn't actually even need. And the Roy and Thea stuff at the end there was pretty good. Actually, probably the best acting that both of them have had their entire show. the whole, oh yeah, now it's taking the life force out of Thea because Thea won't kill thing sort of came out of nowhere, but, well, it looks like it's setting up some big stuff going forward, and hopefully Tatsu shows up again, because that was barely worth it as a cameo for her there. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
Barely worth it, Adam? Come on. Any katana is good katana. I'm grateful for anything that the producers give us, so I've got to disagree with you there that was very worth it. That was some epic sword play, and especially the combination of styles with Middle Eastern scimitar versus Japanese traditional katana, two-handed sword style. I was grateful for anything we got. So,
right. So my opinion on that is that they didn't just call her in for a quick two-minute scene. They actually filmed something else with her as well. Unless she was just passing through and she just happened to be there and they were able to grab her. I think we're going to see more katana as the season goes on. Remember, in the season that we first saw her, she did pop in a couple of times at the end of the season. And then she disappeared into nothingness. So I think we're going to get her again.
The problem is the more she appears, the more I'm going to worry that this is when they pull the trigger and kill another character in the Suicide Squad movie.
It could happen.
I'm a pessimist. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
But you know what? For all that, Adam, I will agree that acting between Thea and Roy was gut-wrenching. That I was actually watching the tears roll down their eyes. I'm like, oh, damn, this is cold. You know, it was emotionless when they killed off Amanda Waller. But having these two characters say goodbye to each other is gut-wrenching, and it is protracted. And I agree, both those actors nailed the scene. Props to both of them.
Absolutely. So thank you very much, Adam, for calling in. We really appreciate that. And don't forget, you can send us your own voicemail. You can email me an MP3 file at StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com, or you can call our voicemail line at 612-888-CAVE or 612-888-2283. So if you've liked this podcast, there are a bunch of other podcasts on the network. We've alluded to some before. Matter of fact, I talked about one before that we're going to talk about. We're going to hammer this one home because it was great timing and everything. So, Chris, what do we got?
Well, we've got Nerd Alert News. It's hosted by some guy who's an enormous hack, I've been told.
He's got an enormous head, that's for sure.
Enormous head, giant head, big ego.
Massive beard.
So, SP touched on the top of the show. Last night, Neil was kind enough to join me for episode 21 of Nerd Alert News. It was a breaking news episode because the oft-rumored Flash and Supergirl crossover was confirmed by CBS. So, we ran down the news on how that happened and gave some of our conspiracy theories for how this crossover just might take place before opening it up for some fan comments on that. So, go check it out. Head on over to GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Download episode 21 of Nerd Alert News. You can hear our conspiracy theories for just how this crossover takes place.
Yeah, and that was fun to listen to. I actually watched it on YouTube as I got home today, and that was definitely fun. Hey, and don't forget, thank you to all of our listeners. You can download this podcast at GunnaGeek.com or anywhere you can download podcasts like iTunes or whatever. I just want to say a special thank you to everybody because we have some new listeners. And thank you very much for checking us out. We really appreciate you. No matter where you hear us, if it's through the network itself at GunnaGeek.com and you download us there, if you hear us through Spreaker, the replay on YouTube that Chris puts on later. And thank you very much again, Chris, for editing. So we thank you very much for checking us out. And we put this out for you. We don't put it out for us. We enjoy talking about it, but we put it out there for you. So thank you for enjoying it. Thank you for downloading. And thank you for listening and viewing.
I put it out there because chicks dig podcasts.
Definitely. It's the headphones. Totally the headphones.
It's the cans, man.
Yeah. And I just want to say a special thanks to all of the live listeners that have tuned into our show on the Blab Network. Your interaction is truly what makes this show fun to do live. Listeners like Cajun Sean, Mad Hatter, Adam Nelson, Stephen John Drew, and everybody else that has popped in and out. Thank you for spending your Thursday evening with us. If you would like to join the craziness and talk some Arrow and join in the chat, You can join live on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on blab.im and search for Starling Tribune or Gunna Geek. And don't forget that after the show, we always open up the fourth seat on the Blab interface for our live listeners to hang out and share your thoughts and join us in the fun. You can watch the next live show on the Gunna Geek Network over at geeks.live. And our next show is going to be all things good and nerdy with our very own Starling Tribune's Chris, Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Dude, oof, that's harsh.
When you get old, you get up early anyway, so that's cool. Yeah, so we have a live show on Geeks.live every day of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So go check us out. We have a lot of great stuff there. Hey, and don't forget, you can rate our podcast on iTunes. You can review it, and you can definitely subscribe. You can like us on Facebook. You can give us a thumbs up on YouTube. We really appreciate that. Or subscribe to the GunnaGeek.com YouTube channel. And don't forget, you can always badger us on Twitter at Starling Tribune or any one of our personal accounts.
And while you're thinking about it, if you want to reach out to us, there's tons of ways to do that. You can find all our contact information over on the Gunna Geek Network. Just head on over to GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Find all that info there. And while you're there, check out our forums. Check out all the other awesome shows we got on the network. We got tons of great content. We even have some old archived content from some TV show tie-ins and things like that that might have gone away, but is still great, great content. But if you want to share your thoughts about anything Arrow, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or best of all, give us a call at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283.
I love when we hear from longtime listeners, first-time callers, so the opportunity is yours for the taking, guys. Chris, SP, great episode, gentlemen. That about wraps it up for another week. Any last words before we sign off and open up the Blab interface to our live listeners? At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag someone got shanked. Thanks, Adam.
At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag cool guys don't look at blasts.
And I am at Neil Isn't Witty, signing off with hashtag Nyssa. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.
Yeah, Cajun Sean in the chat just said next week Deadpool, and I am so ready for Deadpool. My wife and I.
Valentine's Day treat, man.
A few roses, a nice dinner, and Deadpool.
I'm waiting for the week off or the day off. That's going to be awesome. I like that. I like 3-day weekends. That was one of the great things about Blab. I really like participating on that end, just watching and commenting and that sort of stuff. So I really want to thank everybody that was live in the chat tonight. We really appreciate you coming on and spending the rest of your Thursday nights with us.